And Cyrus, sometimes he picks the greatest songs out there. When I turn on the radio, I...
Compelling insights, unpredictable conversations, encouragement for your day. It's the Patrick Madrid Show on Relevant Radio.
When I turned it on, he was playing a song by Rage Against the Machine, and you comment that you love the beat, and that was one reason as to why I love some of the songs by Rage Against the Machine. So thank you, Cyrus, for that. I appreciate it.
That's awesome. Thank you.
When I turned it on, I was like, oh my goodness gracious, he is playing Rage Against the Machine. I had to go back and listen to the song because I'm like, surely he's not playing Rage Against the Machine. And it was. So it made Cyrus, me happy that morning. So thank you.
Cyrus, why don't you fire that song up while I'm chatting with Mary so we can give her a little tidbit.
It's a little early for Rage, isn't it?
Well, not for Mary.
Is it really ever too early? You know, Rage Against the Machine is one of those when you're working out and you just need like a song to get you through. You put on Rage Against the Machine or some AC/DC or songs like that.
Keeping it relevant.
Here
it's
we
the
go.
Patrick Madrid Show on Relevant Radio. Join the conversation at 888-914-9149. That's 888-914-9149.
We're sending this one out to a young lady in Indiana named Mary.
There you go.
So this is workout music, is it?
It is.
I had never heard it before until Cyrus played it the other day.
Yeah.
Well, very good.
Yeah.
So what
Thank
other
you
items
so much.
Do you have
I appreciate
on, your,
it.
On your list, Mary? Anything else, or was that it?
Yes, I have the reason as to why I called. My question is can an average Joe on the block be a victim soul?
I think so. I mean, if we're talking about the same thing, a victim soul, somebody who intentionally offers up great suffering on behalf of others, like those in purgatory. Do you mean something like that?
Yes, that's exactly what I mean.
I think so. The reason I do believe this is because some of the great saints that we've read about who have been victim souls were ordinary, even hidden people. You know, nobody in the limelight, nobody known for doing anything publicly, and yet they suffered in discreet obscurity and were very holy. So based on that, I would think, yes, the answer to your question is that anybody could be a victim soul if the Lord chose that person. It's interesting that you asked that question. Was there something behind that?
Well, my dad is sick. I told myself not to cry. Mm-hmm. My dad is sick, and when I've been praying about it a couple of times, I hear the Holy Spirit in my head say that he's doing this for someone else. And when he was admitted to the hospital earlier this week and I had to drive my mom home, I had asked her, and she said that he had mentioned it to her that there was a young woman that he was suffering for. And so, you know, my dad's illness came out of nowhere.
Oh, boy. So an otherwise healthy man who was not...
Then, you know, his conversations went from, oh, this next year, you know, I'm excited about this, to now all of a sudden, like, well, if it's my time to go, I'll go, you know. And his disposition has completely changed. And so...
If I can ask, Mary, how old is your father?
He's not young. He's 80.
Okay.
He's 80. So I understand that fully, that it may very well be his time. It's just that when I keep praying about it, that's what keeps coming to my mind. And
that could very well be the case. It certainly could be.
Yeah.
So have you noticed, is he, I don't know how to put it exactly, but does he seem more intense in his prayer life or more intense about his relationship with God? Do you perceive changes like that from him?
You know, I do, but I see them leading more towards the negative. Oh. My point being, my dad has attended Mass daily since he retired. he will sometimes go twice a day if he has the opportunity.
Wow.
He's very prayerful. You know, he is praying us through life, most definitely. And since then, you know, people will come up to me and they'll comment, "Where's your dad? Where's your dad? Where's your dad?" Or, "We're praying for him. How's he doing?" Because he now, you know, is staying home instead of going to church. And legitimately, Patrick, my parents live a football field length away from church.
Oh, how fortunate for them.
We were blessed, yes.
Yeah.
Purposefully moved there for our school and church. So the other day when he was being admitted to the hospital, and he may have been in a state of distress, he was like, "I don't hear God's voice anymore." And he was crying and sobbing about that because he's apparently not. And
you know who else went through that? I mean, among
Mother
other
Teresa? Really big,
yeah, exactly. She went through and her life, her health deteriorated terribly toward the end of her life. And what you're describing reminds me of her. And yet she stayed the course and she was faithful in prayer and she felt bereft of any presence of God. And I think if I remember correctly, she said it went on for like 40 years that she didn't feel that. That's amazing, isn't it?
It is. I hope it's not. Well, my dad doesn't have 40 years. So,
yeah.
But, you know, do you
May
mind
I
if
offer
I ask
a book
one
suggestion?
Last question?
No, oh, not at all. Do
yes.
You mind?
No.
Okay.
Yes, please.
Okay,
go right
so
ahead.
Two that I would propose, one, and they're both by the same saint, St. Teresa of Avila. The first one is called The Way of Perfection, and it's got short little chapters. There might be 40, 50 chapters in a small book, so each chapter is brief. And it's her, these are her, I guess they would be conferences or talks that she gave to her sisters back in the 1600s. And it's just a beautifully laid out guide for things like this, how to understand it, how to deal with it, how to push past these feelings of God isn't speaking to me. The other book by the same author is called The Interior Castle. And in this book, she takes up more specifically the different stages of perfection. So the state of conversion at the very beginning, when you're learning how to love God and how to avoid sin. And it's a painstaking process. And then after that, you have the way of purgation. And then after that is the way of illumination. And it's hard for anyone to know, of course, where you are on that sliding scale toward perfection. But I wonder if maybe these books might be something your father could really not only relate to, but benefit from reading. You know what I mean?
Sure. Sure. I'll look them up and get those ordered for him.
So, oh, that's kind of
thank you for the suggestions. I appreciate it.
You're most welcome. And please, I know you have another question, but before I forget, please remember me to your father and let him know that Patrick and Cyrus and Father Rocky and all of us here at Relevant Radio will begin praying for him in a particular way for this intention.
Thank you. I know my siblings and I would appreciate that, and my mom as well, appreciate that greatly. So thank you.
You're welcome. So you mentioned you had another question?
Yes. My last question is, once again, regarding the victim's souls. Does it ultimately mean that person's life is going to end for someone else's salvation or conversion, whatever the case might be?
I'm not sure if I can say yes or no. I can venture a guess, Mary. Sometimes in my reading of these accounts of the victim souls, sometimes their sufferings wear them out to the point where they do die. And if we're taking that all together and saying that they're offering their sufferings for the poor souls in purgatory or for some other intention, that can lead to their death, and the death, we could say, is part of their sacrifice. I have read about some saints, I wish I could remember some off the top of my head, but who lived long, long, long lives of being victim souls, and they didn't die and didn't die and didn't die. Eventually, everybody has to die. But in some cases, I don't know that death itself is necessarily part of their sacrifice. It leads ultimately to death. So I don't really know how I could answer that question. I mean, only God really knows for sure, certainly in the case of your own beloved father. But the fact that he's 80, he's already lived longer than the, you know, the average. So he's ahead of the game.
He is.
Well, it's a sorrowful, sad situation, but also a beautiful one, isn't it? When you think about what God seems to be doing there.
Most definitely. Most definitely. And of all the people that I've met in my life, he is the perfect human being to do that. He is, you know, 9 times out of 10 suffering in joy. He is a happy, God-loving, God-fearing man who cannot wait to meet Jesus one day. You know, it's just his 4 children, you know, 2 away from the faith that I would want to keep him around for.
And maybe it's them that this is all helping. Yeah. Maybe when it's all said and done and they have their miraculous reconversion, please God, and they'll say, if it weren't for my father's prayers and sufferings, I may not have come back. So I wonder if that's part of the grand plan here. Yeah. Well, you seem like you are. You seem like you are a very dialed in Catholic. And even though this is a sad situation, it seems to me I hear joy in your voice, which is wonderful.
You know, yes and no. It really just depends on the day and time. You know, typically nights when I'm by myself or not at work. Right now I'm on spring break, so everyone's joyful during spring break, aren't we? So
when the sun is out, that's true.
Oh, this is the earliest I've been up all week, Patrick.
In there, Mary.
Thank you. And thank you, Patrick, Cyrus, and young Thomas, for all that you do. I really do appreciate whenever I get an opportunity to listen.
That's kind of you, Mary. Young Thomas is waving. He's in the call screening room, so he can't talk to you right now, but he's waving to you.
Oh,
Cyrus,
yeah,
any parting words for Mary?
God bless you, Mary. Thank you. Thank you for calling in. Thank you for listening.
Thank you, Mary.
We're going to be praying for
your dad.
I didn't
think I'd be the first caller. Thank you, Paul. That's his name. We appreciate all the prayers, so thank you.
You got it. Well, thank you, Mary. We will be praying for your father, Paul, and it's good to know that you're out there listening, so thank you again for calling in. And as they say, ladies first, I had a choice of different people to put on the air, and I see now why I chose you, because I think that was God's providence. Thanks, Mary, and God bless you. Wow. Wow, wow, wow. So, hey, everybody, Mary's father's name is Paul, and he's going through a difficult time right now. He could really use your prayers. So if you, like I and all of us here at Relevant Radio, have a prayer list of people whose names you put on that list and you pray for them every day, please add Mary's father, Paul, to that list, and let's pray him a lot of encouragement. How about Matt now in Cedar Rapids, Iowa? Good morning, Matt.
Good morning, Patrick. Hey, I have a question for you regarding Chrislam. I was with a coworker, and we were looking at a video, and he brought it up and said that supposedly in Portugal there's this idea of the one world religion where supposedly they say there's going to be a Catholic Church, a Jewish temple, and Islam or whatever site, and people can go between the three of them. And I explained to him that I didn't think that is something that the Catholic Church or the Pope would promote. But can you shed some light on regards to Chrislam and how anything you know about it or the facts or the things on it?
Sure. So, I mean, I don't know much about it, but my understanding is that the Catholic writer, G.K. Chesterton, was the one who first used the term. I don't remember anything with that term before then, so that would be early 20th century, late 19th century. And as I understand it, it's an amalgamation. It is a syncretism, or at least it would be if it were actually something that took off, that would incorporate tenets of both belief systems. So Christianity and Islam sharing certain things in common, perhaps. But to me, it seems like an impossibility, like that would be like a square circle, because the essence of Christianity, aka the Catholic Church beginning with Jesus establishing his church, is that there's one God in 3 persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, the Trinity, and that Jesus Christ in the incarnation is God himself who became man. And that's absolutely rejected, violently rejected by Muslims. So if you remove the divinity of Jesus and the Trinity from quote-unquote Christianity, it's no longer Christianity. It's something else, but it's not Christianity. And if you remove the insistence by Muslims on one God, Allah, and their belief that Muhammad was his prophet, and they also believe, for that matter, that Jesus was a very high-level prophet, at the highest levels indeed, but nothing more than a prophet, certainly not divine. Well, if you remove that and include some kind of belief in Jesus as God, well, then you don't have Islam anymore. Whatever that would be is not Islam. So I think of this as a square circle idea. It can't be done. You can do something called Chrislam and maybe gloss over the glaring differences, but they're so radically different that the things that we may have in common, things like prayer and fasting and almsgiving and believing that God is merciful, those things are just side issues. And if Christianity is eviscerated without Jesus as Lord and God and without the Trinity, then it's not Christianity. So that's about all I can tell you about it. I don't know to what extent this has ever been, in fact, practiced in any kind of systematic way. I'm sure there are some people who consider this as sort of their vibe or their jam. That's what they do. But to me, it seems meaningless because it's an unachievable squaring of the circle. Off the cuff, that's my impression, Matt.
Okay, well, I appreciate that because it didn't seem factual to what our teaching of the Catholic faith is and what we believe, and what they would try to do would actually, to me, felt like it would diminish the truth and reality of the Catholic faith, which is so beautiful and well done, that it would just kind of destroy the divinity of Jesus, the Holy Spirit, and the Trinity.
Which are not destroyable in any case. So it would have that effect in the mind of the person who held such a view. But of course, you know, the truth is the truth. And
right.
Yeah, but it would deform to the point of no longer being Christianity. Well, it sounds like we're on the same page on that one, Matt. Thanks for the call. 888-914-9149. I get what you're doing, Cyrus, and I like it. I get it. Three-dimensional chess here on the Patrick Madrid Show. I'll be right back with more right after this. This hour is supported by Notre Dame Federal Credit Union. Join the nation's largest Catholic-oriented credit union and receive $200 when you add a direct deposit. Learn more at NotreDameFCU.com/join. That's NotreDameFCU.com/join.
Welcome back to the Patrick Madrid Show on Relevant Radio. Have a question? Give Patrick a call. 888-914-9149. That's 888-914-9149. This is the Patrick Madrid Show on Relevant Radio and RelevantRadio.com.
Okay, we are back. Hey, if you want to call this number, 888-914-9149, that's only if you want to go on the air. If you have a question you don't want to go on the air, don't call that number because it clogs up the line. 888-914-9149. So if you're looking for, I don't know, a book or something like that, send me an email, patrick@relevantradio.com. That's the way to get that stuff. We just want to keep that number free for people who want to be on the air. Starting with Robert in Australia. Good morning, Robert.
Good day, Patrick. Again, I'm back again. I don't.
I remember, Robert. Good to hear from you again.
Thank you. I have to give a special shout out to Bill in New Jersey. If he's listening, thank you very much. I think he pulled over after my call, and he said how elated he was after his first confession, or not his first confession, but his confession. I'm preparing for my confession, but one thing that is blocking me from giving a great confession is missing Mass every Sunday. I've attended Mass here for where I live, and my parish priest, it's very banal. He just goes through the motions. He plays a CD. It's almost he stops the CD and then he continues. So is it better for me to attend a banal Mass or miss Mass? Obviously, it's not good for me to miss Mass, but should I maybe seek out a better Mass somewhere because I don't feel fulfilled going to that Mass?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, if you're experiencing that at the parish you're at, you're in the Archdiocese of Sydney, as I recall. Is that right?
Well, I'm in Manly, so it's on the outskirts of Sydney. It's beautiful.
Okay.
A beautiful. Yeah.
I know Manly. I've been there. Well, you've got a plethora of Catholic parishes all over the place. And so I would say, you know, whether you go into Parramatta or Sydney, whichever direction you go, you're going to find a lot of Catholic parishes. And there are many, many good parishes. I obviously haven't visited most of them. I have visited a few. And I was very edified by the things I saw. There's the cathedral in the city, of course. But no, yeah, I don't think you should. Yeah, exactly. I wouldn't be tethered to a place that you find distracting or just you're not getting anything from it. As far as the confession is concerned, just a thought on that for a moment, Robert. Go ahead.
Okay. I hate to cut across you, but I want to come to my confession with a contrite heart and be willing to attend Mass every Sunday. And the Masses I've attended, I have gone to Mass, I haven't received the best of sacrament, but because I haven't been in a state of grace, but I have attended Mass, trying to get back in and trying to find some kind of connection. But the Masses I've attended locally haven't been edifying, if you know what I mean. It's just like, it feels like, and yes, this priest is elderly and maybe he's been doing it for 40, 50 years, and I'm not blaming him for it. And maybe he's probably, he's not as youthful as he has been, like 40 years ago. But it seems to be like, press a CD, play a bit of a song, and then they cut it off, and then he just goes through the motions. And even during the consecration, it doesn't seem to be, it doesn't edify me in any way.
I get it. No, if I can interrupt you, and I'm really pleased that you're calling in, Robert, and I enjoy speaking to you, and I do now too. But let's not confess his sins. You know, it doesn't do anyone any good to go through a list of the things that he's not doing right. The most important thing.
I'm not blaming the priest. I'm just saying. Perhaps he's a little bit older, and it's an unfortunate thing in the Catholic faith that all the priests are so old now. You know, how many priests do we know that are in their 30s or you know? I grew up not far from a seminary, and you know, 30 years ago. In Maynooth College, there was probably 30. Now there's probably 3.
Yeah. So if I can interrupt, you're identifying a reality in the church. It is what it is, but we're born at this time and in this place, and this is the time the Lord wants you to be here. So you make the best you can out of the situation. Some eras had a profuse number of priests and churches, and this isn't one of those times right now. So just do the best you can. And I would suggest find a good parish. If you want to stay on the line, I have a number of people I know in Sydney, not far from you. And if you want to stay on the line, I will make sure that young Thomas can give you information about someone I know in the Archdiocese of Sydney who would be a good point of contact if you're interested. He's a layman. And he can give you good advice as far as parishes, maybe get to know a priest if you're looking for spiritual direction or something like that. That might be helpful to you if you're, since you're coming back to the church and you haven't really been to church much in years, that might be just the kind of thing that can help you. So would you like that information if you want to stay on the line after we're done talking?
Yes, absolutely. But I just want to come to a confession with a contrite heart and not like commit a mortal sin as regards missing Mass on a Sunday. So before I went to religion, I went to confession like 15 years ago, and I thought, well, let's just stay clean now to start again and maybe sin again. But I want to come at it now and want to be totally contrite. I said, well, I'm going to attend Mass every Sunday. But unfortunately, in my diocese, local diocese, it's not really a Mass. I can attend, but it doesn't edify me, if you know what I mean.
I do, but maybe we're talking past each other. What I'm saying is, you know, pick up and move on to a different parish. You know, it doesn't do you any good to wring your hands and be discouraged by the parish that you're at now. So, I mean, I just think it's a simple fix for what you're looking for. And that way, hopefully sooner rather than later, you can go to confession and get everything out there and mention if you want to. Just, you know, I've been very frustrated with the parish I've been to recently. I'm looking for a different parish, something like that. But there's no need to get hung up on it. Just move past it. Find a different parish. And when we finish talking here in a moment, if you stay on the line, Robert, young Thomas will give you the information for my friend. And that way, if you are interested, you could contact him and seek his advice for a good parish.
I want to come back, but as I said, I was writing down my sins and coming back into the church and what it meant, and it meant attending church every Sunday. But my local parish doesn't quite do it for me. But
I understand. I have to move forward, Robert. But how about this? You've got my prayers and my encouragement. Stand by. Young Thomas will give you the information. And I would encourage you to get in touch. It's up to you, of course, and there's no obligation. He has no idea that I'm doing this, but you can mention my name and tell him that I suggested that you touch base, and I'm pretty confident he can give you some good advice that will help you get unstuck and move forward. Thanks, Robert. I appreciate the call, and God bless you. 888-914-9149. Just to take a pause there, you know, just in thinking in terms of the ruts you can get in life, you know, the pockets of discouragement, difficulties that seem insurmountable. We all go through them, but they always tend to pass. And this is maybe something if you're listening right now and you're feeling like you're in one of those pockets or one of those storm clouds that you're stuck in. Yes, obviously, it can be something like clinical depression. I'm not discounting that. Obviously, some people go through that. But I think most people, independent of something like an external factor like clinical depression, most of us go through periods of time where you just feel in a funk, you feel discouraged, you don't feel energized. And it's difficult to rouse yourself and move forward and do what needs to be done. I think that's just part of the human condition. So it being what it is, my suggestion would be try something different. It's easy. If you feel like you're in a rut like that, and it's not that you have to try something different permanently, but let's say that you're feeling like you're just going through the motions at your local Catholic parish and you're just sort of, you know, phoning it in and there's no real conviction or feeling you're just following through because it's what you're used to doing, you can always try something different. And what I mean by that is you can change things up. And maybe go to confession if you haven't been to confession a long time. Go to confession to a different priest at a different parish, someone you've never talked to before. Or ask around, is there any parish that's known for like really effective preaching? I'd like to go sample that sometime. I'd like to go try that. Another thing you can do is go on a retreat. Man or woman, doesn't matter. There are usually plenty of options in most parts of the United States to go on a retreat. And sometimes that's all that's needed to jumpstart things all over again. To go on a retreat, spend some time, decompress, clear your mind, hear some new information, different surroundings. Sometimes that's all that's needed. Pope John Paul II, when he was a bishop, and I, as I understand it, you know, even as a cardinal, and I think he actually snuck out a few times, probably with some security people with him, when he was pope, but he needed to do that. And there are plenty of pictures of him up in the mountains in Poland and in Italy. And he would go on skiing trips. He would clear his mind. He would get out and commune with God in nature. He would bring groups of young people who would share the experience with him. It was a very invigorating, and he was a sportsman too, for that matter, but it was a very invigorating thing for his own spiritual life, as he himself said. So to whatever extent, if you find yourself in a rut, you're just not moving forward the way you want to, try that. Try something a little bit different. Doesn't mean you have to change your whole life or you have to upend everything. And I'm certainly not suggesting that you perish shop in a bad sense. But sometimes, you know, if it's just not working for you, there's nothing wrong with looking around. And you may say, oh, well, this parish community 3 miles further down the road, you know, I really feel connected here. I'd like to participate. Things like that. So give it a try. We're going to take a break and we're going to come back with more of the Patrick Madrid Show. If you want to call and be on the air, call 888-914-9149, 888-914-9149. I have a concerned email asking about how Father Simon is doing, and I'll give you the answer to that when we come back from this quick timeout. Nothing you can sing that can't be sung. Nothing you can say, but you can learn how to play the game. It's easy. Nothing you can make that can't be made. Thanks to network sponsor PushPay. PushPay offers parishes a platform for tracking donations and sacraments, overseeing schedules, mobile apps to help manage your administrative load, and much more. Info at relevantradio.com/pushpay. That's relevantradio.com/pushpay.
We were four guys. We were just a band who made it very, very big, that's all.
Keeping it relevant. It's the Patrick Madrid Show on Relevant Radio. Join the conversation at 888-914-9149. That's 888-914-9149. Beep, 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 beep.
You did it.
Okay, I see what you've got some different tricks now.
I gotta keep you guessing.
That was good. Maybe you can drive. They were just four guys, that's all.
That's all.
So I have a note here from Lenore, and I don't know where Lenore is listening from, but she says, I thought I heard you say something recently on your show about Father Simon being ill and requesting prayers for him. That's true, I did. Is he okay? Lenore asks. Can I send a get well card to him at Care of Relevant Radio? Sure you can, absolutely. I hope he's following my Jewish mom's advice and eating chicken soup and taking plenty of vitamin C. Well, I know that Father Simon is well acquainted with the Jewish community and has a lot of friends in the Jewish community, so I'm pretty sure he's probably being bombarded with that same good advice to eat chicken soup. There's something about it, I must say. So yes, as I understand it, Father Simon is still feeling under the weather. I don't think this is anything serious though, and I don't want to give anyone the impression that he's got some serious illness. But Cyrus, since this just popped up, what are your thoughts on that? What's the word on the street?
I'm just texting his producer to see if I can get an update. I know he was feeling better. And so he was, it sounds like he's on the mend. And I just looked through our log for the rest of today and his show is live.
That's a good sign.
Very good news.
Yes. And for, depending on which time zone you're in, but for the central time zone where our headquarters is in Chicago, His show, check me on this, Cyrus, starts at 2 p.m. Is that right?
2 p.m. Eastern. That'd be 1 p.m. Central. That's right.
Okay. 2 p.m. Eastern. And that's the Father Simon Says show. He is hilarious and extremely intelligent. And that's a great combination to have, because if you want to laugh and have some lighthearted moments, you'll get that. But you'll also get lots of really great teaching. He's very erudite and taught as a professor in the seminary for years. He's a pastor, too. I mean, he's done it all. So Father Richard Simon's a good friend and a key player on the team. And Father, if you're listening right now, we all hope that you're feeling better. And the fact that your show is going to be live today is a really good sign. Oh, and also, Lenore, yes, if you wanted to send Father Simon a Get Well card, it's easy to do. Just go to relevantradio.com, and both down at the very bottom of the page, or if you click on Connect, you'll find our mailing address, and you can send it there, and it will get to him right away. That's very thoughtful of you. Well, anything more on the Father Simon front, Cyrus?
That's all I have for now.
Okay, well, that's good. That's good. It's an encouraging news. 888-914-9149. I have a note here. This is referring to a gentleman who called in yesterday, and this is from Joseph. Goes by Joe, by the way. And he's listening in Staten Island, and he says, I personally feel the pain of a caller yesterday who had lost his wife, Artis. Remember that call, Cyrus? She died after many years of marriage. And he was wondering about...
That's right. You know, she died during COVID, and yeah. She was on a ventilator, and her husband couldn't go see her, and the priest was not able to go in and give her last rites.
Right. Yeah. It was very sad. And so I hope our conversation brought him some encouragement and some consolation about the plenary indulgence that the church offers for those who die without the benefit of the sacraments, if they at some point in their lives had the habit of praying regularly and they're sorry for their sins, the church grants automatically a plenary indulgence. So that's the call that Joe is referring to. He says, my wife of 56 years passed away in August of 2020. I prayed to the little flower, St. Therese, for a shower of roses as a sign that my wife made it to heaven. I received that sign, for which I am eternally grateful to God. I now say the following prayer daily. This is, he says, a widower's prayer. Father, you have taken my wife home to you. We were created by you in order to return to you. And for a portion of this journey, we were side by side. We shared joys and sorrows, happiness and difficulty. It was beautiful, though not always easy. I thank you for all of it. Now my spouse has gone and I am left alone. Give her eternal joy and give me the strength to say, thy will be done. And allow us one day to find each other again in our eternal homeland. Mary, solace of the afflicted, pray for us. That's beautiful, Joe. And I haven't seen that before, so I'm really glad you sent it to me. I have a feeling it'll be a comfort to other people. And maybe, how about this, Cyrus? At the next break, we will get this posted. So if you want this prayer, I think it's beautiful. Don't call 888-914-9149, because there's no way for us to give it to you that way. And that number, by the way, is for people who want to go on the air. So please, in your kindness, don't call that number and ask young Thomas for the prayer, because he won't be able to give it to you. You'll be able to find it on the show Twitter feed, which is at P Madrid Show. Do we still have the glitch with the website where it doesn't always populate on the relevantradio.com/Patrick website, Cyrus?
The last time I checked, it looked like it was behaving.
Ah, okay.
So hopefully.
Okay.
As good of an answer as I can give you.
Okay, that's good. And I know it sort of sometimes fades in and out, that kind of thing, as far as, you know, what Twitter will do one day versus what it will do another day. So that's just the way things are. But that's where you will find it. You'll find it on the show Twitter feed at P Madrid Show. And then you'll also find it on the show page, which is relevantradio.com/Patrick, in the section on the lower right where the Twitter feed is. You'll find it one way or the other. And Cyrus, did I mention that they should not call 888-914-9149 for that?
Only if you want to go on the air.
That's right. That's what that number is for. If you want to go on the air, it's not a number to send messages to me or to tell me that I forgot to say something I should have said. Or what was that book title again? That's not what that number is for. Send me an email if you want to ask that question.
Hey, speaking of emails, yeah. Patrick, I have one here that okay. I think you're going to like. This is from Mary.
Okay.
And she says, good morning. I just wanted to thank Patrick for his talk on his show about forgiveness. I have struggled myself and have even brought up multiple times in the confessional what I had thought was a lack of forgiveness. However, I now finally feel like I have forgiven. I have been forgiven and that I no longer need to hold on to those situations that were tough and traumatic. Mm-hmm. Thank you so much for what you both are doing and the kind, sympathetic, and empathy that is being aired. The conversations these past weeks have been very moving, and to those callers who are struggling with depression, I get it. I have been there as well. But like Hank Williams saying, there is a light. You just have to look. It's never as dark as you think. That's just the devil. I love listening to the show as well as my children. God bless you both and have a wonderful Easter. Sincerely, Mary. And the specific show she's talking about, forgiveness. Mm-hmm. If that's something you're interested in, you'd like to hear what Patrick had to say about forgiveness, that's from March 28th, hour 3.
And March 28th.
Yeah, and that's really easy to find. All I did is I went to the Patrick Madrid show, and there's a little search. So relevantradio.com/Patrick. Mm-hmm. Then there's a little search the show, and all I put in there was forgiveness, and it popped right up.
Yeah, it's so easy with the search function. And well, thanks for pointing that out, Cyrus. And by the way, Mary, thank you for your kind and thoughtful email. I do appreciate that. And your words, I'm sure, will ring true for a lot of people who are just like you. I suppose we all are this way to some extent, where it's hard to forgive. Someone does you wrong. Someone insults you. Someone criticizes you. Someone, you know, and perhaps not even intending to do so, but it comes across that way.
Sometimes forgiving yourself is the hardest thing to do.
Yeah, that too. I mean, let's pause on that thought for a minute. If you live long enough, and you don't have to live all that long for this to happen, but if you live long enough, inevitably you're going to rack up some regrets, maybe a lot of them, maybe a whole lot of them. And there are moments where I don't know about you, but I have moments when I look back and say, why on earth did I do that? Why did I say that? Why did I not do something that I should have done? What was I thinking? How could I have done that? I think it's pretty common. So if you are like Mary, experiencing some healing by God's grace when it comes to your ability to forgive other people who have insulted you or, you know, maybe something really bad, don't forget about asking God to give you the grace to forgive yourself. I mean, if he forgives you, if you're sorry for your sins, you believe in him and you're sorry for your sins and you're seeking to be forgiven and restored. He is quick to forgive, the Bible says. Slow to anger and quick to forgiveness. So if you're struggling with that kind of issue that Cyrus was just talking about forgiving yourself, well, ask for that grace and God will give that to you. That's why it's so important, by the way, to pray the Divine Mercy Chaplet with Drew every day at 3 p.m. Central, because he gathers people from all around the world, everywhere, to pray for God's forgiveness for our sins and the sins of the whole world. So don't forget that devotion. That's very powerful. Thank you for that, Cyrus. Did Mary say where she's listening from? I don't remember you mentioning that.
I don't have that. So probably the app.
Okay. Kind of you, Mary. Thank you. Emails, by the way, can go to patrick@relevantradio.com. Let's go to Jeff in Chino, California now. Good morning, Jeff.
Good morning, Patrick. How are you? I was calling because I'm going through one of the hardest times of my life right now.
Okay. What's going on?
My ex-wife has gotten me in a situation where she's not letting me see the kids.
Oh, boy.
And I'm very close to the kids. Always have been.
How old are the children, and how old are you and your wife, and how long were you married?
I'm 42. She's 40. My daughter, Penny, she's going to be 8. My son just turned 12.
Okay.
They're little guys. We've been married 8 years, and we've been living together 15.
Okay. Okay. Catholic, the two of you?
I recently, about 5 months ago, started attending the church again. She does not. She was raised that way, but she doesn't. I was raised late that way. My dad introduced me at 13, and It was a little late, but I started finding it.
Yeah. Better late than never. So I don't mean to get in your way, Jeff, but that helps me understand a little more clearly your situation. So go ahead.
So basically, she got a restraining order on me against the kids, which everybody knows is ridiculous. Her own family isn't supporting it. I can't understand why she's doing it. And until I could go to court, I'm just stuck. And it just gets harder and harder. I only get to see them 4 hours a week. Yeah. Sorry. But my question is, I've been praying and praying. I've been talking to one of my favorite fathers at church, Father Uchi, at St. Paul the Apostle. And I trust, but I just feel so hopeless, and I'm so scared of the worst case scenario is it's going to be a whole year of this. After May, it's going to be a whole nother year of, you know, me having to talk to the kids with some lady watching me and then, you know, critiquing everything I do around my own kids.
Is this restraining order based upon something that happened, whether it really happened or she accused you? Or is it just that now that she doesn't like you, she's using this as a weapon? Or did something happen where the court said, okay, go ahead.
There was a situation that happened between us that wasn't anything having to do with, it was nothing I did that deserves any of this, but she wrote on the restraining order that when I'm mad at the kids that I get in their face. And basically, I'm being honest with you when I tell you, she basically wrote what she does. She's, it's hard to explain because I don't want to bash her, but I'm like the kid's protector. I'm the one that tries to keep the peace in the house all the time, you know, and I feel helpless. I'm worried that I'm, you know, sinning when I'm worrying so much, but the worst outcome just terrifies me, even though I'm worried that me and the kid's relationship is going to be affected. My son, I just found out my son's going to counseling now because he's so sad. I missed his birthday. They wouldn't let me go to his birthday. He was crying to me about that. We're just really, really close, and I'm terrified that this is going to tear us apart. And everybody.
All right. Go ahead, Jeff.
Go ahead.
Well, I'm sorry. We keep talking over each other by accident.
Oh, sorry about that.
It's okay. I'm looking at the clock and I realize we're going to be out of time in a few minutes. May I offer you a couple of thoughts that might be helpful?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir, please.
First of all, know of our concern for you and your wife and your children. And I've seen this kind of situation play out before, and I can only imagine how painful it is for you. But my advice would be, don't give up hope. Don't despair. Set your face like flint. Keep moving forward. Number one. Easier said than done, I know, but it can be done. With God's grace. Now, are you familiar with the novena of Our Lady Undoer of Knots? A novena is a prayer that typically one would pray for 9 days. That's where the name novena comes from the Latin for nine. Are you familiar with those kind of devotions?
I just finished on Tuesday, Joseph's novena.
Perfect. Okay, good. So you know what it is and how to pray it. I would recommend that you pray this novena. It's called Our Lady Undoer of Knots.
Our Lady and Undoer of Knots.
Undoer of Knots, yeah. So it's a prayer to the Blessed Virgin Mary, asking for her powerful intercession in a situation that seems utterly hopeless, like there's no way out, no solution, nothing's going to happen that's good. This novena is well known for helping people in distressing situations like the one you're describing. So it's a prayer that you make in faith, and you trust in God. You recognize that his answer may not be exactly the answer you're looking for, but he will always give you the best answer and the right answer. And Our Lady is a powerful intercessor. So you can look this up online, Our Lady Undoer of Knots. And also, if you jump on the Relevant Radio app, download it on your phone, type in that phrase. And I've had a couple of shows in which I talk at greater length about that. And you can listen to those as well. Call me back again soon, Jeff, okay?